Good morning and welcome to the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's really good to be together on this most beautiful May morning in the beautiful city of Austin. And a sacred Mother's Day to each of you and to all our mothers. And may this day be a blessing to you in a very special way. As you remember giving birth, as you remember your own mother, as we all remember all our various mothers that have blessed us. And today we're going to be focusing on Mother Earth and the beauty of nature and how Mother Earth, Gaia, is a mother to us on our spiritual journeys. Just a word of a reminder or information. Chances are that if you're watching this on Zoom right now, you are receiving the weekly email from the church, from me and from the church. But if you're not receiving email communications from the church, I encourage you to go online to consciousharmony.org and register for our email communications or call the church office. I was talking with a church member this week on the phone, and I thought for sure this person would be receiving these emails, and they had no idea that we were meeting on Zoom. They didn't often check the website. So I wonder how many others in our community aren't receiving those emails. So just spread the word, and certainly we want to make sure that everyone knows they're welcome to participate. And importantly, this week we sent out an email updating the fact that we are going to remain as is using the Zoom platform to meet for the remainder of May, and the board will be re-looking at the facts of what's happening toward the end of May and make further decisions at that point about opening or scaling into opening or not. So do stay tuned. But thank you for being here this morning, and sure do feel your presence here in the sanctuary, and know that wherever you are, all around Austin at this very moment, just feel into that, all around Austin, all around the country, maybe even around our planet, that we're all doing this thing together, and that we're connected through electricity and through light and through technology and through a screen. So it's such a virtual presence. And we just feel into this now that this is the communion of saints. So thank you for being a part of it. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to bless our service. And through this service, bless all mothers of all children of all the planet. And in some way that we would all expand in love and consciousness and understanding. Amen.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song and prayer. Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you.
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Remember God, and God is in our hearts. This is our verse, it's a prayer actually, for this week, if you'll be my echo. Lord, come to my assistance.
Lord, come to my assistance.
Make haste to help me.
Make haste to help me.
Amen. So, we are still working with fears, and we have our lions, tigers, and bears. And today I want to talk about bubbles. And magic wands. If we dip our magic wand into the bubble mixture, we can work on our breathing that helps us when we feel afraid. We breathe in, we breathe out, bubbles. So this is something that probably most of you have at home, is some bubbles. And when you feel afraid, you can use your breath and your bubble wand, and it really helps to stabilize the feelings that are happening inside of you. And this also reminds me of Glinda, the Good Witch of the North. Oh, let's try again. We're going to bring Glinda in. There she is. She comes in on a bubble, doesn't she? And when she comes in, she helps Dorothy. One of the things she says to Dorothy, when Dorothy's afraid of the witch comes and she tells the witch, "Be gone! You have no power here." Well, that's something that we can tell our fears. And it shrinks them from great big lions, tigers, and bears to little lions, tigers, and bears. And we can deal with them a little better. But you may have noticed we also have cows. Lions, tigers, bears, and cows. Now, that may not make any sense if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, because there really weren't any cows except maybe at Dorothy's house, but I just remember a bunch of hogs. But anyway, I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me this week. It actually happened to Dawn as well. It was Thursday night, and we had just settled in and were drifting off to sleep in our bed when I heard a noise, and I said, "What's that noise?" And Dawn said, "I think it's the police." And he got out of bed, ran out of the house, and he didn't come back. And so I got up and I went and looked out the front window, and there were flashing lights across the street. There were two police cars with flashing lights. And as I looked out the window, there were two huge cows in my front yard. And so I went out the house to see where Don was. And he was on a ladder in his underwear, and he was looking over the fence. Well, he had the ladder up against the house because he's been painting it this week, and the roof line. And he had run out of the house in his boxers, and he didn't have his glasses on. Well, by the time I got out there, the cows had left our front yard and gone across the street to the neighbor's front yard. And then as we stood there and watched, the police cars drove away, leaving the two cows in the neighbor's front yard. And so we went back to bed. But I started thinking, we live on a really busy two-lane highway, and sometimes cars can veer off the road and end up in the ditch. It's happened before. Well, I started thinking about those cows crossing the road. What if a big truck came really fast down the road and there was a cow in the middle? They might slam on their brakes and run off the road and run into our house. So I had a lot of fear as I was going to bed, wondering if someone was going to plow into my house in the middle of the night. So I remembered what I taught my children when they were very little about the white bubble. At night, when we put them to bed, we would have them use their imagination and see a white bubble that they would climb inside, and they would build it around themselves. And it was God's white light that kept them safe through the night. And every time we took a car trip, we always put our car in the white bubble. And so as I was going off to sleep, knowing that the cows were out there and that the highway was out there, I said, white bubble, don't want no trouble. Well, I want to share with you a song that I wrote about the white bubble to help my children remember it. And I know that my children, at least my youngest daughter, still uses the white bubble, and she had an amazing story, but I'm not going to tell that today. I am going to tell you one thing, though. Miss Jackie and I, one time, went to a godly play training in Houston, and on the way back, I was driving, and I missed the highway, and we ended up on this little road, much like the road that I live on, a two-lane highway. And as we were driving down the highway, all of a sudden, there in the middle of the road was a dead cow with its feet straight up in the air like this. So I had that image in my head. You have to know that it was planted there years before. But let's see if I can remember this song. I think I wrote it when my children were like teeny tiny, but now they're like 30s and 40s. Before I go to sleep at night, I brush my teeth and say my prayers. And then I close my eyes and use my imagination. I see myself in a bubble of light, a bubble of God's white light. I see it all around me in the day and night. White bubble, don't want no trouble, just wanna sleep tonight. Keep me safe in the day and night, white bubble is God's white light. Before I drive inside my car, I buckle up for safety. And then I close my eyes and use my imagination. I see myself in a bubble of light, a bubble of God's white light. I see it all around the car with my inner eyes. White bubble, don't want no trouble as I am on the road. Keep me safe in the day and night, white bubble is God's white light. Amen.
Please join me in listening for God's word for us. Our first reading is the poem Divine Mystery by Swami Ram Dass. O Mother Divine, Thou hast filled my entire being with Thy power, all-pervading, and has made me Thy child. a child born of thy joy and thy love, a child ever aware of thy glory, basking in the rare light of thy grace. How wondrous art thou, from whom cometh forth the splendor of the sun, moon, fire, stars. Thou sporteth, O Mother, as all the worlds. Each being and thing is thyself in thy myriad forms. How can I describe thee, O divine mystery? Thou hast held me in thy arms. I am free, playful, and buoyant. Under thy assuming glance and tender care. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
There's a bag of sacred objects in the young teen classroom. These objects come from places, sacred places, all over the world and here. And each Sunday, the young teens begin the class in a circle, passing the bag of sacred objects around as they finish sharing their response to the check-in question. We always say, "I'm in," and then we reach into the bag and pull out a sacred object that becomes a symbol of our aim to be in, to participate fully, and to remember our sacred agreements while we're together. And then the bag goes all the way around the circle. Everybody does this. And when everybody's complete, finished, together we lean forward and place our sacred objects on the altar in the middle of the circle, so that we can see it and be reminded of our aim throughout our time together. Part of my Sunday aim each Sunday is to walk through the classes, the classrooms, and pray and feel into the energy of the classrooms and the Sundays that we are having to meet like this. And also part of my aim is to reach into that sacred bag of objects and pull out an object and bring it up here with me. And last week I reached in and this is what I pulled out. It's a llama aim card. There's a picture on one side and an aim, a group aim, on the other side. Each year, the Saturday before we go to Lama, the youth group meets on a Saturday night for the all-night vigil. And one of the things we do on that night is sign up and somebody is praying all night in preparation for our trip to Lama, our pilgrimage. But the first thing we do is we come together with our individual aims for the pilgrimage. We share them all, and then we take all those individual aims and we create a group aim out of those individual aims. And then we create these cards and we take them with us and we memorize the group aim. And every day while we're on the pilgrimage, we remind ourselves of the aim by reciting it daily. I think this was last year's card, and the aim from last year was, "Channeling our love in all worlds radiates peace and joy and reveals the one true self." And that stayed with me all week long, and I got this idea that I would see if I could find all the AIM cards from all the years that we've gone to Lama. And we didn't start making AIM cards until our third year going, I think, or fourth year. So I've got 16 AIM cards here. So that was last year's AIM. This, I believe, was our first year AIM. This is the hyped logo. And the group designed it, and Casey Crummer drew it for us. And then we created our first AIM card picture out of it. And our first AIM was, we surrender to embrace God now in all things. And the next year is a picture of the Cross of San Damiano. And that AIM was, our AIM is to experience everything fully by observing, connecting, welcoming, and staying grounded in our positive belief that this moment is love. Amen. So the idea of aims is really important here at the church and with our youth group. But this is not an aim that we set that we call a life aim. It's not an aim that we wish to make more money or get a job or do well on a test, school get canceled. These are spiritual aims. These are aims that we wish to remember our efforts to achieve something spiritually. And an aim is, remember, an effort to direct our attention toward a goal that we're aiming for, hoping to hit the mark, whatever that mark might be. And every day, many of us here at the church set daily aims. And I thought that today, in this, as this lockdown and this practicing this social distancing continues, that we would set an aim together and make it a week aim, starting today and then going through next Sunday, as an effort to connect ourselves through this medium, but also the aim should come from our hearts. And our hearts are always connected. We are always one and always complete together if we can remember our hearts. So if you take a moment with me and think of an aim that you'd like to look at this week. I have got mine. So keep that aim in your mind, and together let's set that aim on the altar of our hearts together. And try to remember it each day this week. Amen.
Please join me in listening for God's word to us. Our second reading is taken from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the earth on its foundations. so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The oceans rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place where you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth from the valleys. They flow between the hills. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and for plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. In them the birds build their nest. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in this work. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
One of the things I love about that psalm is the way in which the earth is the medium of praise of the soul, and the soul expands and reflects upon the earth and all its functions and all its mystery and majesty as a way of worshiping and being lifted up to the higher, to the greater, to the mystery of God. And it blesses the soul. It opens the soul up to bless. And as we meditate and contemplate and ponder and look at the earth and all its beauty and all its glory and all its goodness, it tends to edify our souls. It tends to fill our souls with something that is a quality or an energy or an influence. It certainly leaves an impression that lifts us up. And so often I would talk to people about their spiritual life and ask them how do they grow spiritually or what feeds them spiritually. And more often than anything else, people say nature. And there's something really beautiful about that, that all around the world, nature is this primary first language that all of us have learned. And when we're having a bad day or when we're feeling alone or when we're feeling joyful or when we're feeling this need to take rest or be on vacation, more than anything else, we go to places of nature. And even if it's a place like Disney World, or even if it's a place like a crowded beach, still, it's more contact with nature than maybe we may have in our day-to-day life. So today we're going to be talking about the Mother Earth and how the Mother Earth is a mother to us on our spiritual journeys. And just want to bring out a few things, and then we have our dear friend Jill Frank here to share her experience from the feminine perspective of how Mother Earth has been with her on her spiritual journey. The first thing I want to start out by saying is that if you look at the Bible as a narration story, if you look at the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the combined Hebrew scriptures and Christian scriptures, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and if you look at the last book in the New Testament, it's called the book of Revelation, Genesis begins in this primordial garden that is untamed, that is of extraordinary mystery and magic, and is a place of discovery for humankind, where humankind wakes up in the midst of this primal garden and has to discover how to be. And the book of Revelation ends, the whole book of the Bible ends in a highly technological city that comes from above and lands down on planet Earth. It begins in a garden, ends in a city, a highly technological city. And I wonder about this, that this somehow captures the spirit of certainly Western rational thinking and materialistic-minded people, that technology is better than nature, that evolution is necessarily moving us beyond from the garden, out from the Garden of Eden, east, toward a technological future. And certainly over the last 10,000 years of human culture on this planet that we know about, and perhaps even 50,000 years of human beings leaving traces of themselves painted in caves and whatnot, that technology has been a part of our evolution and growth. And apart from that technological advance, we wouldn't be able to communicate today. For example, if the pandemic had happened just 10 years ago, this never could have occurred as smoothly or as easily as it is now. So there's a certain sense that technology makes us better. And even Ilya Delio and Teilhard de Chardin seem to suggest that the future is God is ahead of us, which is very interesting. And along the way, in this technological advance, many of us have lost contact and literally lost touch with the earth. If you think about it, our shoes are rubber-soled. And when I was sick about 10 years ago or so, someone mentioned to me, you know, have you ever heard about earthing? And I said, no. And they said, well, earthing is a way for you to touch the earth and get grounded from all the electrical impulses and EMFs that are around us. And I thought about that, and I said, true, you know. I wear these rubber shoes all day long. I never touch the earth. When I get into my apartment or house, I never touch the earth. When I go out on my walks into the woods, I'm wearing rubber-soled shoes. And if you think about it, days, months, years perhaps have gone by, for many of us, since the last time you physically put your hands, your face, your feet, your skin on the earth, on the mother's belly. I mean, you just think about that. We live in a sanitized world, and we've lost touch with Mother Earth, and so it's an important thing to begin to remember to come back and touch this earth and to feel it. Now, there's another side to this story in that some people want to romanticize Mother Earth and think that life would be so much better if we just stopped having electricity, stopped having cars, stopped being humans, basically, and just let the earth go back to itself and let the animals take over. I mean, I've heard some people say that we're looking for a post-human world. I've read that. Well, that's a whole extreme of romanticizing nature. And I tell you the truth. 2,000 years ago, if I was an explorer who found the Amazon jungle, I would much rather be an explorer today in the Amazon jungle than 2,000 years ago because of all of the antibiotics we have and all the treatments we have. So good luck surviving in the jungle, all those romanticizers of nature, for a week or even a day. So we have to be balanced about our understanding and use and enjoyment of nature. Somewhere in the middle is this balance of technology and romance of nature alone. We're not nature worshipers, but we use nature to worship God and to be human. And unfortunately, things seem to me to be wildly out of balance. And we're awakening to that. And this truth of Mother Earth is letting us know significantly that we're out of balance. The feminist theologian Catherine Keller, she has a wonderful quote, and she says, the so-called great world religions will only prove themselves to be great world religions when they become earth religions and understand humanity as an integrated part of planet Earth. It's really true that all of us, the Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, all the other religions, that we will not really be great until we are Earth religions, that we understand the role of Mother Earth now more than ever and the place she has in our lives. And how important to hear from the feminine on what the Mother Earth has meant. And men have been talking about nature for a long, long time. And I think it's important to hear from the women and your experience being a mommy and how the Mother Earth has been a place of your spiritual connection.
Well, thank you. For me, Mother Earth is all about God in matter, and it's about embodiment and incarnation. And on a beautiful day like today, looking out that window at the sun and the flowers, it's about being enlivened, coming alive within. I also love the way that it's home. It represents the macrocosm of home that I inhabit, that we inhabit. And it's a teacher about, I can watch it out there and I can learn about what's going on in here, in this microcosm, this particle on the earth. It's also about flow and connection and harmony. And as you said, it's really clear to us looking outside of us when things are chaotic and out of order, how we feel inside. It also teaches us about life and about death as a part of life. And I love that it's so natural. It is divine order that we are born, we come into this physical manifestation, we grow old, and we die, and in our deaths we feed other things, and nature shows us that so well, that nothing is wasted. So what really has been speaking to me over the past couple of years and coming alive for me is practices that bring me into this body. It's so easy to go through our outer world and not really see what's in front of us, to just be mechanically moving through it and missing the beauty and the wonder that's around us. And that's the way I can inhabit this body as well, just completely oblivious to it. And so what I've really wanted to share was a practice and a prayer that both were given to us and in using them for
a decade or more, I'm starting to finally feel this embodiment. And Miss Deborah talked about putting on our bubble of light. And I feel like starting our days just as Mother Nature shows us in a natural rhythm. Every day has a rhythm of the sun coming up and the sun setting. Every year has the seasons that come and go. And it's teaching us that we too need a rhythm in our body and we need ritual. And when we connect with that, we can become enlivened and we can be that bubble of light to go out into the world. So Tim Cook shared a practice for us. And it's a practice that I believe connects us with our original neural network that we have not really learned to connect with and we haven't developed. And it connects affirmation, it connects feeling and sensing in our body, and it connects getting into the flow before we enter our day. I used to do this after my centering prayer practice, but after Jim Rialli came, I kind of switched up the order of things and started doing my body and movement practices before going to the mat, to the centering prayer. And I found that it's really enlivened. It's like going to the docking station and plugging in, but I'm already awake when I get there. So I want to offer this, and you can participate in it, in the comfort of your own homes. And I invite you to listen to the words and to feel, which is a deeper sense than sensing, really feel into the desire and then to sense in your body. And what this is the I am statements that Jesus gave us. And it's moving them down our body along our energy centers or chakras. And it enlivens and awakens them. So we begin with feeling yourself grounded, feet on the ground, spine upright, and beginning at the top, the crown of the head, feeling and sensing, I am the resurrection and the life, connecting us with greater mind, with all the wisdom that's gone before us, that is eternal. I am the light of the world, connecting us with inner vision that can see through all the unpleasant manifestations of ourselves and others, that can see with the light of Christ. I am the Good Shepherd, connecting us with the power of the Word. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Remembering that I can pollute my environment or I can utter praise. I am the bread of life, connecting us with the love, the flow from source that nourishes our world with love, harmony, and is Eucharist. I am the door, connecting us with will to God, with that desire, that holy longing in our core, our basic core of goodness, connecting us as a receptive being, open to receive. I am the way, the truth, and the life, connecting us as a digestive organism that can take in impressions take them in deeply and perform our function of transformation of these impressions and digestion, returning them all to our beloved source, the great accumulator. And I am the true vine, grounded and rooted in Mother Earth, in matter, in materiality, roots deep and joined together. Breathing and feeling into this aliveness, the flow, connecting us to our roots and to heaven. And we go back up, sealing ourselves in our light bubble. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And this is a form of remembering. Remembering what we are intended to be. And from this point, I typically go to the mat and draw all of this energy and force through all the cells of my body. And then to the mat for prayer. And I want to close with sharing a prayer of seven movements that was given by Annie Kirk to a group of us about 10 years ago. And it may not be exactly as it was shared, but it's what I've taken in and made my own. And this is the way I exit from my centering prayer in the mornings. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of another holy and sacred day. I reach out in love and compassion to all my brothers and sisters in the universe, all creatures great and small. I give you all that I am and all that I have, and I open to receive the gifts you have in store for me today. May I know them as such. I bow down to Mother Earth, to your world, in awe and reverence and gratitude, and vow to care well for her today. Lift me into this day as your vehicle of divine life, light, love, and healing in your world, on this Mother Earth. As Christ, this member in the body of Christ, I pray. Amen. And from this place of embodiment, we give thanks to our Mother Earth and to all our physical mothers in gratitude for offering us this opportunity to embody. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's very sacred to partake in and to share with us your practice, and I think that's very, very meaningful, and we can feel that right this second. So be inspired. I didn't know exactly where we'd go from here, but if I might ask you, you guys and your family have just said goodbye to your daddy who passed, and I know this is on Mother's Day, but I'm just wondering, what is it like for you and your family to embrace the feminine, the divine feminine, Mother's Day, in the absence of the father, the masculine presence in in your daddy. What's that? What does that do to the polarity? What is that like? This is your first Mother's Day without your dad.
Well, my father knew God in nature. And one of the last times that he was able to get out and walk on his land in Spicewood, we sat down after a long walk, very slow walk, on a swing under the big oaks. And my father wasn't one to be quiet. He liked to fill the space with words. And we just sat there and sat there in silence. And it was really a first. It was really, really special. And finally he looked over at me and he said, "I'm meditating." And Daddy was not known as a meditator or one to go to silence. And I said, "I know you are, so am I." And I've felt his presence in nature. And I've been drawn to be outside more than ever. And of course, it's a beautiful spring, but I suspect we'll be spending the day outside on the land in nature with my mom and Mother Earth and his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is a space, but I feel like that connection lives on and is stronger. I really feel that. I feel a presence that's completely clean now. There's no more story other than positive ones of love. Mm-hmm. So we will surround my mother and hold her in her physical loneliness in love.
Yeah. Thank you. And the beauty of Mother Earth who surrounds her at this moment out there in Spicewood. I think for many, thank you for sharing, that was so meaningful. For many of us, and I'll just speak for myself, but I expect it's similar for everyone, that the only God I know is the trees. The only God I really know is the prairie grass. The only God I know is the wind through the trees and the grass and the sound of the birds and the full moon and the sunrises. It's really the forests and the trees against the prairie skies where I grew up in Wisconsin that has been my only real sense of God and has been my comfort. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. When the mind fails to understand, when the ideas are too big, when men like your dad who haven't had a spiritual practice like we would think of a spiritual practice, but yet nature opens the heart. That for most of us, truthfully, the earth and all of its glory and goodness and beauty and diversity has been the only God we've known. And Bernadette Roberts really puts a fine point to this because she basically says that the Logos, the divine energy of God, not God Almighty, but the Logos of God that we talked about last week, which is the Shekinah or the Sophia in Hebrew, that the Logos is through all of creation. That, in other words, the Logos has a particular affinity and expresses itself through the physical creation. And apart from the throughness of creation, the Logos wouldn't be able to manifest itself. So in a certain sense, in fact, I think I have it here. She has this profound little thing. The Logos, this is on page 207, the Logos was not some disembodied spirit, but the unknown reality of matter itself. So when I think of someone like Tony, your father, sitting there meditating, you know, in the beauty of nature, he's contacting the unknown reality of matter itself that we name Logos, that the Hebrews name Shekinah, that Greeks called Sophia as well. And so that's a beautiful thing to ponder, that it is okay to use the earth and all of its beauty as a sacrament, as a bridge, as a mediator to the divine. And it may be the only God that most people know, truthfully. Which is why it's so important, you know, St. Paul then said, What you all worship as unknown, you Stoics who believe in the Logos, unknown in the unknown reality pervading all of creation, what you worship as unknown, I now proclaim to you that the God who made the heavens and the earth and the Logos that infuses all things throughout all of matter has now been made known to you in the person of Jesus Christ, which is a huge claim, which gets us back to the I am statements. And you didn't, I mean, I didn't know you were going to really talk about it in those sense, but Jesus is the revealer of the I am statements. That's where that came from. If you read in the Gospel of John, there are 7 I am statements that Jesus makes. It's revealing the unknown quality of God so that we can embody and become not just mystery religious people who connect with God through nature, which is a first stage, but we become the I am bearers, continuing the incarnation of God here on earth and deepening the power of the Logos to dwell not just in nature but in sentient beings. The Logos indwelling nature can only go so far. It can only make 3,000-year-old redwood trees and glorious monarchs and the full moon. But the Logos indwelling human beings can turn us into a neural net of love, an embodied love that serves one another and helps contribute to the coming kingdom of God and the paradise that the fathers talk about as the new Garden of Eden, called the City of Jerusalem or Heaven on Earth. And whatever that is, whatever that mixture is of city and garden, you know, the early monasteries and even the current monasteries, even our church, every single monastery was built around what they called the Paradisium, which was the garden in the center of the monastery. The walls surrounded the monastery, then there was the sanctuary, and then there was the Paradisium. So it reminded the monks of why they were seeking to open up the I am chakras and experience the paradise of God in their midst and in their community. This very sanctuary, this very church is built around the Paradisium. It's called the courtyard here. But it comes from the ancient tradition of the monasteries building around a Paradisium. And this notion of the Holy Spirit, it's very important to see the nuance between the Logos, which is the through-allness of the divine, the omnipresence of the Logos is the through-all of the divine in creation and human beings, and the Spirit is the in-all or the all-in of the Spirit, which is deeply personal. So the Logos connects with the physical, the mystery of whatever the physical form is, that connects with the physical form of the earth. So like calls to like. So the body here calls to the body of the earth, and the Spirit indwelling in each of our cells calls to the Spirit that is the source of all life, and each of us manifested through the breath. So the breath indwells the body. And in fact, as a nurse, you know, that when, what's the chief sign of death?
Breath changes stops.
Right, so you can see when someone's dying because the breath weakens. And really when the mystery of death is when the breath is gone. So this is really powerful that the Spirit is connected as the means of infilling the Logos that is the body. And the Spirit fills that physicality and interacts with it and then is no longer interacting with it. It's really powerful. I love the summer months, and we'll just conclude with the little maybe application, I don't know. Certainly you've given us a model of what the practice can do to a being, and I felt your being as you led us through that, and I know everyone felt your being. So it's a witness of what the practices do to a person who consents. It's real inspiring, I think. And each of us needs to cultivate practices. And you integrated something Tim told you and something Jim showed you, something that you adapted. And each of us needs to put on the mind of Christ in our bodies in our own personal ways. And for me, you know, sometimes what that looks like is going out at night, in the middle of the night, especially under the full moon. And one of the things I love about Central Texas is the big breezes that we get and the big low flowing clouds. And I go out in the warm night air in the summertime and walk underneath the full moon, barefoot on the earth, barefoot on the grass. And the grass is gently wet, and it conveys an energy to me, as does that white bubble up in the sky that I look at and know that it in some way represents Mother Earth and Mother Mary, and that Mother Mary is the Queen of Heaven, and that this earth is in tandem with that beautiful white-orbed beauty hanging in the sky. I grew up in Wisconsin and love listening to the stories of Garrison Keillor. And since I can't tell this story myself, I can quote Garrison Keillor, who tells of a bachelor farmer who is indulging in his harvest of gorgeous tomatoes. And these tomatoes are so delicious, and they eat the tomatoes, just bite right into that tomato, and the juices just drip down. And those tomatoes come ripe in June and July and August in the upper Midwest. And those tomatoes turn these hard-hearted Norwegians and Germans, of which I'm one of them, so I can say that, and warms our heart, that delicious, sweet tomato. And Garrison Keillor tells the story of this bachelor farmer getting crazed by this gorgeous tomato and walking out in the middle of the night under a full moon on the wet dew grass. And he says, and the bachelor farmer, cold-hearted, German-Norwegian, mean-spirited, grumpy man, hears a voice. And the voice says, "Take your clothes off. Lie on the earth. Feel my love. Remember who you are." And that's the Mother Earth speaking to all of us. So, get out underneath the full moon. Open the I Am chambers to the presence. Whatever practice calls to you, I, for one, could be more embodied. We could be more embodied. And we could embody the earth with more reverence as our mother. I bow to the divine feminine in you. I bow to the divine feminine in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all the beings of this earth who need to connect with the softness of the divine feminine and the tender provision of Mother Earth. Amen. Our community is woven together by faithfulness. And that faithfulness is embodied in spiritual practice, most of all, in gathering for worship, and also through tithing and giving. And to celebrate the abundance of this community and its faithfulness, I just want to celebrate the fact that in March and in April, more was given than what we needed. That's astounding. So thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness. And maybe this overabundance will be given to others who are in need. If not in reality, then in certainly energetically, through our ministries, through our practice, through the witness of what this place stands for. So thank you for your love and valuation. And let us continue this practice of devotion, remembering this affirmation, especially for those who are in the food lines and who are in unemployment, and all who are in need, that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we bless and dedicate all these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
This is my blood. I give it willingly that you may live in me.
Let us now rest for 10 minutes of centering prayer in the silence, which is a contemplative way of consenting to the love, presence, and action of God.
Abun, birther and sustainer of the universe, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abun, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies, and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love, that we may join in singing with all the saints.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends through our bodies and minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and join in singing Amazing Grace.
I was lost, but now I
On behalf of our team here this morning, I thank you for your presence with us and for your participation on this sacred Mother's Day. We trust you feel the love and have been edified by the Holy Spirit in you. The love of God, Father and Mother, the grace of Christ, brother and sister, and the fellowship and company of the Holy Spirit, in and out, breath in and out, is with each of us, as I am with you. Amen.